Amen.
Israel's life in the wilderness in the aftermath of liberation, the pursuit of Yahweh's promised land, is, as Walter Brueggemann so deliciously describes it, precarious. Israel proceeds as the Lord commanded, but suddenly realizes there's no water to drink. And in the wilderness, Israel finds that it lacks the most elemental resource for life. This problem leads to two exchanges with Moses, which results in a wonder and a reflective comment. The first exchange is a brief one. It questions Moses' leadership, calling it ineffective and incompetent. It's clearly his fault that there's no drinking water. Moses' two responses then, "Don't quarrel with me," and "Don't test God." Pushed farther by the thirsty crowd, the thirsty murmurers and complainers, Moses passes the buck to God, essentially. And my friends, God delivers dramatically, as God always does. You want water? Strike a rock with your staff. I'll be among you in your midst. I'll be standing right before you. Problem solved. Well, at least the immediate problem. It won't be the last we see of testing, of quarreling with God, followed by the intervening actions of God, saving miracles of Jesus, as demonstrated in our gospel lesson. Because an underlying theme of both these stories, the one you heard read first in this story from Exodus, is that both stories are of thirst and of water, and both stories deal with fear. An elemental fear, a fear of out-of-control circumstances in which we find ourselves, forgetting that God and the Christ, who says, "Be not afraid," offer us freedom from fear if we but trust. Freedom from fear of circumstances, of other elements that paralyze us. So if we trust in faith, or if we're not afraid, if we live lives more from hunger to fullness, from thirst to water, from blindness to sight, from leprosy to cleanness, from poverty to well-being, and in the end, as we all hope and pray, from death into life. Problem, solution. It's simple, really. Strike the rock. But it can't be that easy. Maybe it's that staff. We need a staff like Moses. It was quite a piece of wood, really. In Egypt, he turned it into a snake. When Egyptian magicians did the same with their staffs, then Moses' snake ate their snakes. Moses later struck the Nile with it. He turned it to blood. He stretched out his hand with it, and he brought forth plagues. At the Red Sea, Moses held it aloft. The waters parted, and Israel walked on dry ground. Then, just as a finale, once on the other side, he raised that staff again, and water covered the Egyptians. Yes, that's it. It must be the staff, because, you know, it can't be that simple. Strike the rock. If only it were that simple to wield the power of God to suit ourselves. Whenever we face some obstacle, feel some need, all we'd have to do is hold up that staff. We're good to go. We'd have the power. We wouldn't even have to ask, is the Lord among us or not? We'd know it just because of that staff. We'd know. We'd have that staff. Think of what we could do in today's world in Washington, on Wall Street, breaking through some of the stuckness and stagnation we see everywhere, not to mention that oft-cited swamp to be drained. All of our problems economically, politically, that would surely put an end to today's version of mumbling and grumbling, dissatisfaction and fear of circumstances and other fears. But you can't help but think that not even such a staff would truly quench our thirst, would it? We remain thirsty for hope. We remain thirsty for a sense that we're getting somewhere, thirsty for a sense of security. We're thirsty and we complain because there's never enough water in sight. We're in a dry and barren land, and that land seems to be getting drier and barrener by the moment. Instead, God says, strike the rock. Trust that God is standing with us in our midst. Take action. Don't be paralyzed with the trusting knowledge that God is with us. Drink deeply from that well and strike that rock. Strike the rock. If for no other reason, that it's a great way to relieve frustration, isn't it? You can just imagine Moses relishing that opportunity to take it all out on that rock. All of that murmuring, all that complaining. He'd led his people out of the wilderness of sin, proclaiming the message of God every day, moving in stages through a meticulous long-range planning process, and by all accounts, he'd done everything right. Yet all he heard was grumbling. All he heard was complaining. Moses was surely roasting in that parched land of testing and quarreling. Might I be so bold this day to suggest there's some Moses in each of us? Where is our staff then? Honest confession time. Are you ready to strike the rock? Have you reached that point? What makes us grumble? Is that the real issue, or is it something deeper within us? Are we all in this together, thirsting for spiritual waters we haven't found? Are we merely stuck, striking that rock and seeing the results that we don't want? And no results sometimes. Trying to get blood from a turnip, water from a rock? Are our grumblings important, signs of the apocalypse, or are they just ultimately trivialities? Strike the rock. That's one way to look at what transpired in that gospel story, the story of that unidentified Samaritan woman who encountered Jesus, the true water of life, at Jacob's well in John's gospel. She moved from unbelief to belief, from darkness to light, from blindness to sight, from ignorance to knowledge, from misunderstanding to understanding. Both Jesus and the woman were thirsty, but in different ways. Jesus thirsty truly physically from a long day on the road, and the woman so spiritually thirsty. Jesus struck a rock by even daring to speak to a woman, and a Samaritan at that. She strikes a rock in a response to Jesus, telling a half-truth about the men in her life, all five of them. His response exposes the truth, but more shockingly, the repentance through Jesus that accepts and loves her no matter what. The story conveys an important lesson about discipleship as she's transformed by the encounter, about how worship of God can occur anywhere, and not just in the temple in Jerusalem, about acceptance, about ecumenical relations, about leaving our buckets filled with old ideas and misconceptions behind. It strikes many rocks and shatters many walls. Strike the rock. Strike the rock. You know who did that well from this pulpit? Bernard Hawley. He demonstrated an inspiring, a daring strike-the-rock ability to look forward that even speaks eloquently today through his now decades-old sermons. In the troubled summer of 1968, 49 years ago, as America's cities burned, Bernie Hawley preached this from the pulpit. For years, I suspect, the church has been praying for brotherhood, for racial justice, for harmony, for peace, for righteousness to roll down like an ever-flowing stream, for those who are poor and deprived. Yet how the church is very, very anxious and concerned and drawing back in fear when great issues of justice and righteousness and opportunities for doing things come, almost, we might suggest, like answers to prayer. Likewise, this from June 9th, 1968, only days after the assassination of Bobby Kennedy, Bernie Hawley preached this. And so this day challenges us as every day challenges us. We're challenged to remember that we're part of society, a society based on the concept that every man counts. If every man counts, what do you and I count for then? Is our society better because of us? Do we, by our silence, our lack of involvement, contribute to our nation's greatness? Are we enlisted in the cause of humanity, really enlisted? All other questions are subordinate to that. Oh, they're important to be sure, but where is freedom? And of what use is freedom if there's no humanity left? Of what benefit is it to win a battle and lose our humanity? What can we do? We can resolve to struggle for humanity, to retain that sense of the human dimension in the world, to fight for our own humanity. We cannot even save that unless we fight for everyone else's as well. We can re-examine the example we set in our community, in our family, in our nation. We can ask ourselves, for what do I really stand? And then we can ask for another and more embarrassing question. Who besides myself knows what I stand for? And we can do our part in seeking to restore humanity. There's one very simple way: by getting to know people as people and not as things, by breaking out of the old stereotype. How many of us really know someone of another race? How many of us really know someone of another culture, of another economic background? How many know what it's like to have compassion, to feel with someone who suffers, who has needs like your needs and mine that deserves to be recognized? Go and do likewise, Jesus said. Go and be a neighbor. Be a human being. I think he'd say the same thing today, wouldn't he? Strike the rock. Strike the rock. Make America America again. That's the title of a poem by Langston Hughes, written in 1935. It goes like this: Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that strong land of love where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme, that any man be crushed by one above. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery's scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek, and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profit, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work the men, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. I'm the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker sold to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the people, hungry, humble, mean. Hungry yet today, despite the dream, beaten yet today, oh, pioneers. I am the man who never got ahead, the poorest worker bartered through the years. Yes, I'm the one who dreamt our basic dream, in the old world, while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet its mighty daring sings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turned. That's made America the land it has become. Oh, I'm the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home. For I'm the one who left dark Ireland's shore, and Poland's plain, and England's grassy lea, and torn from black America's strand, I came to build a homeland of the free. The free? Who said the free? Not me. Surely not me. The millions on relief today, the millions shot down when we strike, the millions who have nothing for our pay. For all the dreams we've dreamed, and all the songs we've sung, and all the hopes we've held, and all the flags we've hung, the millions who have nothing for our pay, except the dream that's almost dead today. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet, and yet must be, the land where every man is free, the land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me, who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stain. For those who live like leeches on the people's lives must take back our land again. America. Oh, yes, I say it plain. America was never America to me. And yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states, and make America, America again. Strike the rock, my friends. It's time. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.